Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife. I'm reminded of a story I heard some years ago. Story made me laugh out loud, but it contained a powerful point. A rich man nearing death began to pray in earnest that he could take his money with him. An angel answered his pleas and said, "Sorry, but you can't take your wealth with you." The man pleaded with the angel until finally the angel agreed he could take one suitcase. The man found the biggest suitcase he could find and filled it with gold bars for his destination, final destination. When the time came, the man dies and takes his briefcase, suitcase, through the pearly gates. But he stopped by St. Peter, who asked to examine the contents. "What could you possibly think was worth bringing here from your earthly journey?" mused St. Peter as he opened the suitcase. St. Peter looked at the contents, then in astonishment at the man said, "You brought street pavement?" I love it. In Matthew 19, we read the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. Obviously, he was an intelligent, hardworking man. As the scripture tells us, he had great wealth and had kept the commandments. In fact, he was an all-around good guy. He sincerely wanted to follow Jesus, except for one thing. Jesus told the young man that he must go and sell all his possessions and exchange all his treasures for treasure in heaven. When the young ruler could not give up his wealth, he proved that he was not in control of his riches. Instead, his riches controlled him. Now, don't think for a moment that his money didn't hurt him. It literally cost him his soul. His biggest problem was that he didn't understand there's a world system of wealth accumulation, and then there's God's system of wealth accumulation. You see, this rich young ruler did not understand the difference, so he had based his decision on a lack of understanding about what the Word of God really says about money. He was holding on too tightly to what he could physically see and what his mind could conceive. He could not believe that God's greater wealth, he couldn't believe that God had greater wealth than he can imagine stored up for him, available to him. He could not conceive of the value of true riches. Believers come into danger when the money begins to rule them instead of them ruling the money. I've often said that prosperity is not what you have. Is what has you. Begin to view money as any other tool you have available for your use. How will you use that tool? Well, it determines on whether or not it does harm or good. Gasoline, electricity, guns, cars, explosives, nuclear power, airplanes, computers, and money. All of these tools can improve the quality of a person's life. However, all of them can cause severe harm when misused or out of control. Their blessing or harm to our lives is determined by whether or not we're operated under His control and they under our control. Money can do many good things, but when it's not controlled by the Spirit of God in us, it can literally destroy us. So don't be so naive as to think that money won't hurt you. It's capable of doing eternal damage if we let it control us. Money itself never guarantees happiness. If money guaranteed happiness, all the rich folks would be marvelously happy and all the poor folks would be miserably sad. We all know That's not the case. Rich people commit suicide. Rich people visit psychologists and psychiatrists to treat their depression. Rich people deal with unhappy issues such as divorce, alcoholism, drug addiction, even financial problems. Many rich people spend the early part of their lives in misery, trying to accumulate their fortunes. Then they spend the latter part of their lives in misery, trying to hold on to the fortunes they've accumulated. Money simply does not guarantee happiness. We talked about that yesterday. True happiness and peace can come through a proper relationship with Jesus. Which brings us to the next point and several questions. Are we caught in the rush of life worrying about how to make our financial obligations, how to meet them this month? Are we living in the abundant life God promised? Are we waking each day to the wonder of His expectation? God is calling us to a rich and fulfilling life. John 10:10, New Living Translation. A teacher asked her adult class to name the 7 wonders of the world. While the class struggled to answer, a young man stood up and began to speak. He said, "I believe the 7 wonders of the world are to taste peanut butter, to smell the hot dogs from a corner vendor stand, to feel the warmth of a scarf on a cold day, to hear thunder on a rainy evening, to touch my little girl's hair, she lay sleeping, to know that someone is waiting for me when I get home tonight, and understanding the amazing plan God has for my life." The rest of the class began to smile and nod in agreement. The teacher told the student that his answers were excellent. She asked if he came up with those 7 points himself. He said, "No, ma'am. That's what my father says all the time." It's the simple things that give us a proper and scripturally balanced perspective. While God promises abundance, it can often be found in the simple things of life. The world views success as a big bank account. And frankly, the image that goes with it that's been fed to us by advertisers. But God knows that satisfaction, peace, joy, and true fulfillment can only be found by following His plan. Here are some points to consider.
Number one, arrange your priorities to pursue wisdom, compassion, and freedom rather than appearance and affluence. Number two, we were made in the image of God, not in the false image of the world, which the world tries to use as a measuring stick to beauty. Number three, live simply within your means, leaving time to enjoy your family and friends. Four, make plans and work toward them without pressure or fear. Enjoy the journey. Five, understand life is made up of moments. Each moment is given for us to enjoy and make the most of. Six, look for ways to help others and make an eternal difference in their lives. Seven, get rid of agendas that keep us from spending time with God. And eight, listen for opportunities to invest in others as they share their thoughts with you. Nine, ask God for new and creative ways to change your world and make a difference. And 10, pray specifically and sow a specific seed on behalf of your friend or family member who needs a breakthrough in their life.
Giving is close to the heart of God. Make no mistake about it. Is it wise to invest in things that cannot follow you to heaven? At one time, John D. Rockefeller was the richest man in the world. He started the first oil company. In fact, when he died in 1937, one out of every $30 generated in the United States economy was a result of Rockefeller's business interest. And today's currency, John D. Rockefeller's fortune at the time of his death, would have been worth 10 times more than Bill Gates. On the day Rockefeller died, there was a cartoon in a major newspaper. It showed two men talking about the funeral procession for John D. Rockefeller as it passed by. One man said, "I wonder how much money John D. left." The other man said, "All of it." Rockefeller was a very devout Baptist and tithed on all the money he ever made. Later in life, he said, had he not tithed on the first $1.50 he made, he's confident he would never been able to tithe on millions. He said one time, "If your only goal is to become rich, you'll never achieve it." Another time he said, "I know of nothing more despicable and pathetic than a man who devotes all the hours of the waking day to making money for money's sake." Money that we give to the work of the Lord is never wasted. But even more importantly, it'll come back to us in ways that we can't even imagine.
Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again."
Hallelujah. Money that you give may leave your hand, but it never leaves your life. Every seed you sow in the kingdom business is deposited into your heavenly bank account and draws immediate returns. And frankly, you don't need a suitcase for heaven to cash in on your reward, either then or even now. Back to John 10:10, New Living Translation. It says, "I have come that you might have a rich and satisfying life." That's now. That's now. Hallelujah. This morning, I received an email request for a copy of our book, Miracle Money. Now, I don't know if you've ever read Miracle Money, but if you haven't, I encourage you to do so. You can go online and get a request, and we'll send you an ebook. Or you can go online and request, and we'll send you the actual book. And we get requests every day. But one this morning kind of really made me smile and bless me. It was from Tehran, Iran, from a Muslim Christian there, or not a Muslim, but a Christian from Iran. Bless me. If you haven't read it or you need to read it again, send us an email, request it. We'll get it right out to you. We'll send you the actual book or we'll send you the ebook. Make plans to join us tonight. I'm telling you right now. You need to make plans to join us tonight for Sunday Night Live, 6 p.m. Eastern, because it will bless you. It will bless you. We're going to talk about turning points in our lives, what to do, how to move in it. 6 p.m. Eastern, go to heraldhearing.com. Double-click where it says join Harold and Bev Sunday night. Well, till tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern or tomorrow morning at 8:30, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.